So here we are. You know, my title of chapter 23 in my Bible anyway says Joshua's farewell address. And we talked about how the Lord at 100 years old said to Joshua, "You're old." So now he would say to Joshua, "You're very old. And it's time for you to depart," in a sense. So, starting with verse 1 there, "Now it came to pass, a long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies around about, that Joshua was advanced in age. And Joshua called for the children, for all Israel, for their elders, for their heads, for their judges, and for their officers, and said to them, 'I am old, advanced in age.'" So, a couple things here. The scriptures would obviously tell us he's advanced in age. He would also recognize it, that he was advanced in age. He, you know, and this is a important thing, right, as we advance in age, that, you know, there's certain things, right? I see it in, for example, in Pastor Bill. I don't know, you know, he's 76, 77 years old now, and about 12, 13 years ago, he understood that he was advancing in age and that he didn't just want to leave the earth and have the church flounder without him, right? So he made preparations. He took his son, and he put his son in charge of the church up there, and that's what we do, right? We want to leave a good legacy, but we also want, you know, in the process of it, as we understand, you know, we're aging, and it comes a point in time when you got to turn over the wheel, in a sense. Interesting, with just a short story about Pastor Bill. The Lord was working on his heart with all this, right? Because all of us get to a certain age where we're like, I don't necessarily want to be this old anymore. I don't want to admit that I have slowed down or I need to hand it over to somebody. And the Lord was working on his heart and stuff. And every year they would invite the elders and the pastors from Finger Lakes, and we'd all go down to the castle and we would hang out for a few days. Together, and it was a time of planning too, plus it was a time of prayer and time of in the Word and so forth. On our way down there, Pastor Bill was driving. He was driving, you've seen Karen's mom's bug, right? The little yellow thing. He was driving his wife's little yellow bug that she used to have. And they were chit-chatting along the way, and they were going through the Allegheny Forest there by Bradford, around that area. And he was moving along, and they were talking, and it was fine until Scott got a little tired. And Scott dozed off, and he was sleeping over there in the passenger seat. So Pastor Bill, you know, he's driving along, and nobody to talk to, so he figures it's time for him to take a nap, I guess. So he nodded off, and the Lord prepares a place, right? He just prepared this. I mean, you're going through the Allegheny Forest. What do you think you're seeing on the road? Trees, right? Well, it was like the only place in which the shoulder was really, really wide, went into the forest. But anyways, he got to that point and he nodded off. And just as he nodded off and he hit the side of the road, Scott woke up and he said, "Dad, what are you doing?" And he grabbed the wheel and he turned the wheel and they bumped and, you know, they went all over the place. And here we come down the road and we see him parked in this driveway. We get out. Pastor Billy just felt so foolish, you know. But the Lord showed him something. On that trip, he showed him that he needed to give his son the wheel. you know, and it was really bright, you know, it was a neon, man. he kept saying the whole time, oh boy, that was a stupid thing. And then afterwards, wow, that's how the Lord showed me, you know. So, yeah. So sometimes, you know, the Lord has these times in our lives, and, you know, he was old. He recognized it, and he got all the leaders together, all the elders together, not to say I'm expiring. He got them together with the same heart in which he led them into Israel with, you know. And some of the things that we see here in this chapter, we see that the Lord showed Joshua way back in chapter 1. You know, and it's just a cool thing to see a man here that stayed faithful throughout, right? Was there a moment there with Ai that he kind of fell to the flesh? Of course there was, right? He didn't put his trust in the Lord. He put his trust in man, and they got defeated. He understood that, and he took that upon himself, but he learned from that, you know. And I think that's what we are too, right? We often like to say we walk with the Lord, but, you know, to be honest, there are a few times when we kind of sway from his direction. But admittingly, we go to his throne of grace, and we just plead, and, you know, the blood's real today as it was when he died on the cross, right? So, don't forget, and don't allow the enemy to just, you know, discourage you, because we have a great God that sits on the throne of grace. Chapter 23, it says, "You have seen all the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has fought for you. See, I have divided you by lot, these nations that remain, to be an inheritance for your tribes from the Jordan, with all the nations that I have cut off as far as the great sea westward," the Mediterranean there. "And the Lord God will expel them from before you and drive them out from your sight. So you shall possess their land as the Lord your God promised you." So, nowhere in this text here do you see Joshua saying, "It's time for my retirement party. It's just time, you know. It's time for me to get ready to enjoy life. I've been leading you clowns for too long, right? You didn't want to go into the land when I wanted to go into the land. And now, and then I get to pick up the pieces from Moses, you know, and I get to lead, you know, I'm retiring. Enough of this." But you don't never see that. It's what is next? See, there's an anticipation here that when we're walking with the Lord, we should be anticipating that God's going to do something wonderful. Right? He just is. Why? Because he's wonderful. Right? And he uses us. In spite of ourselves. Right? In spite of ourselves. He still uses us. But here he is. He's getting these guys up. He's saying, let's just take a moment, he says, and just look back at where the Lord has brought us. And just remember that. Remember, you know, what you've seen and what we've been through. And allow the Lord just to lead you, you know. I'm just a man. I'm just a man with a heart for God, right? And allow the Lord to lead you. You know, John Wesley, when he was getting up there in years, it was said of him that he was somewhat discouraged at the age of 81. His eyes were getting to be dimmer. He knew that he had limited years left in ministry. And he was reading between 15 and 16 hours a day of his Bible. And he was discouraged that he couldn't read more at 81 years old. To be in the Word that much, you know? I'm like, really? Shame on me. At 86, when, you know, he was so used to getting up in the mornings and just seeking the Lord, and why he was somewhat discouraged, I guess, when he got to a point where he needed a little bit more sleep because of his age, and he was sleeping in to 5:30 in the morning. You know? But here it is. Joshua is just exhorting. Look, don't give up. Don't give in. Remember, the Lord will expel them from before you. And I think we could, you know what, we should take that verse and write it on our walls, write it on our doorposts, you know. We should write it on our refrigerators. We should write it where we can see it, because we need to remember that too. That the Lord expels the enemy. We don't have to battle with the enemy. We just allow the Lord to do His part in there. And He says there, and He drives them out of your sight. And then for our part, you possess the land. He drives them out and you possess. What a deal. What a deal. You know? What a deal. As the Lord God promised you. Then he goes on in verse 6, therefore, be very courageous to keep and to do all the things that are written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. Flip back here for just a moment to chapter 1. Verse 7 there. It says, Be strong and very courageous, that you shall observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do it according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. It's interesting here, because who said this to who? Well, of course, the Lord said it to Joshua. You know. And then we pick up here in verse 6, and it says, therefore, this is Joshua speaking, be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. Do not turn to the right or to the left, right? Stay in the way. It's interesting, because here he is, 110 years old. But as he took over for Moses, he was instructed by the Lord to do this. It was something that was personal to him, wasn't it? It was something that he, down deep in his soul, he treasured. This was a treasured verse by Joshua, right? If he could say, that verse I stuck with, right? That was the verse he stuck with. You know, chapter 1 there. It stuck to him. It stuck, in a sense, it stuck to his ribs. And it allowed him to not only lead his life that way, but to influence others in the same direction, right? Be courageous. Be courageous. And how important, you know, to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. You know, sometimes I think the modern day church ought to read this a few times, right? We need to stick to God's word, right? That's really what he's saying. He said, stick to God's word. You know, stick to it. And please, don't turn to the right and don't turn to the left. You know, it's hard nowadays to stick to the word of God for the church. And we see it. It is hard. Why? Because people want to be popular, right? We want to be famous. You know, I heard a preacher that, and I won't mention any names, heard a preacher that fell here, a Calvary pastor that fell. Many of you probably know him. But somebody asked him, oh, well, after he committed adultery, so how did you get here? How did you get to this spot? You're just doing so well. Your church was growing. He said, I guess I just wanted to be famous. And he realized it. Unfortunately, it destroyed his family. It destroyed his church. You know, sin affects everybody, you know. And that's a tough thing. It's a tough thing. So, what do we do to prohibit that from happening to us? Keep God's word, right? Do it. It's funny because it says, be courageous to keep. Keep it. Keep it what? I think it's keep it holy, right? It's the holy word, right? Make sure that you don't taint the truth, right? Keep it in one piece, right? And then he says, don't just do that, but man, take it and apply it to your lives. Don't allow it to be a dusty old book on the shelf, right? Apply it to your life so others can see, of course. Verse 7, and lest you go among the nations, these who remain among you, you shall not have mentioned of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them. But you shall hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations. But as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000 for the Lord your God is he who fights for you, as he promised you. Therefore, take careful heed to yourself that you love the Lord your God. Or else, if indeed you do go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you, and make marriages with them, and go to them and they to you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges on your side, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. What's he saying? Be careful. Right? He's talking about separation, you know, separation from these nations. He's talking about the child of God not compromising, right? Not compromising and falling into the trap of idolatry, right? And so often we put this we put this in and say, well, idolatry, you know, yeah, they, you know, the Canaanites had their gods and the Amorites had their gods and so forth. But we have our gods too, you know. We can certainly glean from the scripture here. When God says be separate from it, be separate from the world around us. Make us, Lord, different, right? Isn't that our prayer? Lord, make us holy. We want to be holy. We want to be separate. We want to be seen as separate from this world, right? But they were in cahoots in a sense. They were following after and allowing, you know. Sometimes I think it's the allowance of these gods to come into our houses and to come into our lives and our family, and we don't say anything about it. We don't say that it's wrong. We don't say that it's inappropriate. We allow it to happen, and that speaks of compromise, right? We're compromising. We're compromising what? We're compromising the written word of God, right? Just as we said, one of the commands there was keep the word, right? When we keep it, see, we need to keep it, right? So what are we saying to people when we say that homosexuality is an okay thing out there? You know, what we're saying to them is that we're no longer keeping the word of God. It no longer holds the truth that it once did. Everybody used to believe it, but certain parts you can't believe. No, we're to keep it. We're to profess it, right? So, you know, and this swag of scripture here, it's a challenge to us, right? It's a challenge to us not to compromise. When we're around people we love, you know, and they have different opinions, it's hard. Isn't it hard sometimes? You listen to them, you go, Lord, I want to be kind here and I want to be loving, but am I supposed to be saying something? And sometimes we fear saying something, right? Because we're fearing they don't call us anymore, or we're fearing that they might not love us like they used to, you know, that kind of thing. The Lord loves you. So why worry about it, right? Say the truth, right? Because if we truly believe that God's word sets us free, right? Don't you want people to be free? You know, and I think sometimes it's a pride thing for us. We're afraid to say something because, well, you know, I don't want to get dismantled. What if I get dismantled by these people? You know, what if they jump all over me and stuff, you know? But compromise. And look what he says in verse 13 there. Well, actually 12, he says, or else, you know, it's a take careful heed of yourself in verse 11, that you love the Lord your God. I think that's one thing that we need to remind ourselves, who we love. Right? Who we love. Do we love the Lord? Absolutely. So let's stand for Him, right? So that verse might be a good reminder for us. Love the Lord your God. Or else, if indeed you do go back and cling to the remnants of these nations, these that remain among you, and make marriages with them, and go into them, and they to you. It's interesting. Make marriages with them. If you yoke with them, if you are sharing the same yoke with them, you know, if you're united with them, if you marry into their family, in a sense, be careful. It says, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. When we do this thing, when we compromise, the Lord sits back and He says, is that what they want? They've got it. And no longer will He fight the battles He used to fight for you. And that's hard to take, isn't it? So wait a minute, the Lord's not going to forsake us? No, He's never going to forsake us. But He's just saying, when we forsake Him, He allows our will to take over. You know, He allows us. That's what free will is about, right? It's like, hey, you know, do we have free will? Absolutely we have free will. Right? But then you got to go back and ask yourself, verse 12, do I love Him? Do I love Him? Do I love His will more than I love my will? And so he's warning us. Look at, if you take these, this is what's going to happen. Not only will I not drive them out, but they will be a snare to you and a trap to you. That's interesting because, see, a trap confines you, right? It confines you to a certain life. And we see that. We see what sin does to a person, right? Many of the young ladies that commit adultery and the guys as well, right? They commit adultery and then they, you know, the center helps them out and everything, and we should, right? But guess what happens to their lives? Their lives are confined. They're trapped. Right? They're trapped. And it could be that trap, even though it's a child and everything, it traps them in a sense, right? It traps them into a life that they didn't really think of before the sexual stuff happened, right? And they didn't really think of this. And they're trapped. They're trapped because they've fallen for the stuff of the world. I think the word's pretty clear about the Christian life too, right? If we fall into, sin and adultery, you know, committing adultery and or stealing or whatever the case may be, right? Whatever that sin is, it's entrapping. It traps us. It confines us. Interesting about the word snare. I don't know if you guys know what a snare is. A snare. Matter of fact, if in New York State you can trap with a lot of protest against you from all the fur people. But you cannot use snares. Because snares are nasty. They will take and they will get around you. And guess what happens in a snare? The harder you pull, or the harder you try to get loose from the snare, it grabs you more and more. It squeezes you. And the way it kills the animal or the victim, right, is that the animal tries to get away, and as it's trying to get away, it's pulling, and that snare is just reducing in diameter. Until finally, it either cuts the animal in half or it's dead, right? It's a nasty thing. And that's what God's warning us about, is that when we get entangled in sin and it traps us in it and we don't get out of it, because it's our choice, right? Especially as His children, right? We know what the entrapments of sin are. And so we look at it and we go, okay, I'm in sin. So what do we do about it? Right? 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, right? We go to the Lord, who is faithful and just, and we tell Him, Lord, forgive me. And guess what He does? He forgives us. Right? You know what He does? He's the guy that's checking his trap line, and he finds a dog in it, right? A pet. And he goes over to it, he calms the dog down, and he snips it. He snips the snare and allows the dog to be free. And that's what the Lord does to us. We're a bunch of dogs, right? That go to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm snared. I'm in the snare with sin. I confess. Please forgive me, right? And He does. He's faithful and just, it says, to forgive. Verse 14, behold, this day I am going the way of the earth. And you know in all your heart and in all your soul that not one thing has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. He's reminded them, isn't he? He's reminded them of how faithful God is. Then we need that reminder. We need to understand that He is faithful. Right? He gave them this land way back in Abraham's time. Right? He took Abraham, a idolater, right? He took him and he freed him from his sin. See, we always think the Jews always go back to Abraham. Well, Abraham wasn't a Jew, right? But God saved him into his family. You know, that's what we told Isaiah. It's just like us, buddy. You know? Right? I text Bob, hey, pray for us, will you? For the conversation. Bob wrote back, hey, we're all adopted. Right? We're all adopted. Thank God. You know? But, you know, God is always faithful. He's never failed them. He said He was going to deliver them to this land, and guess what He did? He did. He delivered them. Delivered them to the land. 15, therefore it shall come to pass that as all the good things have come upon you which the Lord your God promised you, so the Lord will bring upon you all harmful things until He has destroyed you from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. It's sadness, right, to think that God would take something that He gave you. But what they had done is that they had given it back to Him. It wasn't God's plan, right, to take it from them. But He said, look at if you behave in this unruly way, then there isn't going to be a blessing, right? He says here, the gist of this verse here is, you walk in my ways, I'm going to bless you. Right? And if you don't, I'm going to drive you off. You know, sometimes I think that happens within the body of Christ too. Within the body of Christ, right? Or in the body of the church, right? People come in and God drives them out. And the reason why I say that is sometimes they're not good for you. They're not good for the body. They need to be driven out. Right? They're a discourager. They're very, what me and Karen made this word up, they're picketive. Very picky. Right? Actually, she made it up. I was the reason why she made it up. But sometimes, you know, we always say there's blessing, there's blessed addition and there's blessed subtraction, right? God can add and He can subtract, right? So, I mean, it's an encouragement here just to stick with the Lord, really. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which He commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you shall perish quickly from the good land which He has given you. So, it's really a great warning here. By Joshua to stay in touch with the Lord and follow Him, right? And not go off track, really. And we see this in how even our young nation has fallen into the groove of immorality and just spiritual depravity, you know, just, you know, where are we going? Where are we going? You know, I don't know, but I know one thing. The Lord knows. He's always faithful, right? He's always faithful. He knows the beginning from the end. We don't have to fear it. We just need to continue to walk with Him. There's going to be times, you know, I think Joshua was saying here, there's going to be times of temptation. There's going to be these times where people want you to compromise. There'll be some trying times, right? But he's saying here, you got to be courageous. And he says, you got to put the Lord first. And you got to keep in His Word. Right? You got to keep in His Word. I like what I was going to go through verse or chapter 24 here, but there is no way. I'm going to finish it. So, verse 8. Look what verse 8 says there. It says, and I think this is a good encouragement to us. It says, but you shall hold fast. I think in the King James that says cleave. You shall cleave, right? You shall cleave to the Lord. You shall cleave to the Lord. Interesting enough, you just looked it up. Well, interesting here is if you think about the marriage relationship, right? When we're married, right? It tells us that we should cleave and leave, right? I mean, it's cleave to your spouse and leave really your family, and that is something that God said to Abraham, right? He said, "I want you to cleave to me, and I want you to leave your family." You know, because they were pagans, they were idolaters, right? So he was saying, cleave, hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. Right? Where are our affections? That's the real question. Where does our affections lie? Is it with the Lord? Or are our affections with this world, or even our families? You know, I mean, we love our families, right? We love our families, but where does the Lord rank in there? You know? So it's interesting here that I think Joshua would encourage them, hold fast to the Lord. Cleave to Him. Cleave to Him. And if you're cleaving to Him, you're leaving something else, right? You're leaving everything that's mentioned in verse 7 there. All the gods of the foreigners, in a sense. Separate yourself. So I think there's, in at least in my scribble in my Bible here, I wrote three things here. Three things, I would say. Three things. Number one, keep in His Word. And do His Word, right? Just as James would say, be doers of His Word, right? Not only hearers only, but doers of His Word. And then number two, be separate. That means be holy, right? To be holy. Right? Be separated to the Lord, separated from the world. The last thing is to make your affections set on Him, or center yourself on the Lord. Center yourself on the Lord. And, you know, one of the things, if you look at Joshua, when did he move? He moved when God moved him. You know? Don't trust yourself to move. Trust the Lord to move. Right? It's So how many times do we say, that looks like a good opportunity, or that's the right thing to do? But make sure it's the Lord that wants you to move it. You know, whatever that situation is. But, and don't get snared or trapped, right? So we'll pick up with chapter 24 next week and finish up the chapter. Read ahead, as Bob would say. Read ahead. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Thank you for your word, Lord. May we always be in your word. May we always be separate from the world, Lord, that separation from idolatry, Lord. And ask you, Lord, that you would just protect us even, Lord, through those difficult times, Lord. And may you just be the center of everything we do. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for all that you do, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.